Hello and welcome again. Hi, this is Dave Mertz, Vice President of Sales and Marketing from Simplex Homes. We have an interesting guest with us today. I'd like to welcome Tom Coronado from Citizens Bank. And Tom really is the example of working remotely. Tom's on the call with us today from Wyoming. So welcome, Tom. And tell us a little bit about where you are out in Wyoming.
So originally I'm from New Jersey. Probably to some people, even listening, it might be shocking to know that I haven't been in New Jersey for quite some time, but I do split my time between North Jersey, where I was born, and Crook County, Wyoming, which is Devil's Tower. It's the northeastern corner of Wyoming, bumped up against Montana and South Dakota. About 20 years ago, we ended up out there. My younger brother did, and I sort of liked it. Figured out how to go visit him, welcome the internet, and welcome the cell phone. I was able to commute back and forth, spending some time in both places. And then eventually, about 10 years ago, I decided that I can declare residency for tax purposes and for comfort purposes. I've worked from home since 2009, and I live in an area where we're one person per square mile.
So no social distancing issues there?
No, we've been social distancing since about 1890 out here, so it's not so bad.
Okay. Well, just to give our listeners a little bit of background on Tom, Tom's been in the construction lending mortgage specialist industry for 22 years. He's currently with Citizens Bank for the past 7 years, and previously he had been with Wells Fargo for 15 years. Tom is a member of the annual Citizens Bank President's Club and a Citizens Bank Excellence Award winner. Tom is also very involved in our industry. He's still a board member of the Pocono Builders Association. He's also a board member for the Building Systems Council, which is the council that's associated with the National Association of Home Builders. And Tom is also members of our national or modular home builders association, the MBHA, which oversees and does work with the government on behalf of the modular industry. And lastly, Tom's credentials, he's a co-author of a book, the only real estate investment book that you'll ever need. So Tom has a great resume and a lot of knowledge to share. And with that, let's get into some questions that people might have on their minds right now, Tom. So, you know, what, if anything, has changed in the mortgage industry recently?
Well, there's a lot of chatter out there because we do see some changes for sure in the industry, mostly around credit policy and guidelines. There has been some bank tightening. I think it's more in the broker space or the non-direct lending space, which just means that unlike 2008, where we would see, you know, tens of changes, hundreds of changes over the period of a week, we've had a few, but they just seem drastic because for 6, 7, 8 years, we've only had loosening of credit policy. In my world specifically, it's not so dramatic, but, you know, they're taking a look at reserve requirements for clients. It's more in the space, I would say. Construction lending is an arena where you really have limited banks already that are going to play in that particular space. Meaning they're not.
And some people have gotten out of that construction lending, haven't they?
Yeah, there's been banks that have already either exited. They're not lending there. They're taking less applications. They're increasing their down payment requirements. Or they're just altogether saying we're not going to look for any more business at all there.
So and that's the credit policies citizens are,
we're still in the game. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So. And that, you know, we you know, Simplex has done business with Citizens, and that's in the construction portion of that. It's extremely important, and it makes our world a little bit easier. So.
Yeah, there's a couple things there, Dave. Especially with modular, it's. You know, that's the key component because, again, obviously you guys want to get paid, you know, at curbside. So, again, where some banks are going to take a more conservative approach, you know, that key component in the states that require it is a big piece of it. So I think that's where the banks are sticking to what's easy rather than maybe what's complicated. You know,
sure. So let's talk about the homework a consumer might need to do. So what would you recommend for buyers to do or to prepare for prior to looking into building a modular home?
I mean, oftentimes I get the calls, and I've had a lot of calls lately, especially in, you know, the New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania market. A lot of folks are home. They don't know what to do. You know, they are shopping online, and they're calling me for a pre-qualification. So a lot of the times I think I recommend that they start the process sooner in the banking world to make sure that, one, they can get lendable, get basically pre-approved. In our world, the pre-approval is the same as whether they're buying an existing house or new construction, but they want to start with an interview, you know, of the bank, of potential bankers, loan officers, and just make sure that the, you know, that they're willing to lend in the construction process. And it also gives us a time to look at potential pitfalls and if there's anything on credit or equity. In some cases, banks may require a seasoning of land that they own already. So these are some things that we can address. So I think they should start looking not only at the modular, you know, like what do I want to build, but then looking at where's my potential number for my wish list of a house, and then make sure that the house value and the number sort of get together. But then when they go to, you know, the modular manufacturer, the site builder, that they're sort of already aware of what their real budget is, so that you're not trying to buy, you know, build a $500,000 house with a $250,000 budget.
Right. Is there, I guess, I'll call it a checklist, but just the requirements that people need to check off before they go for a pre-approval that they know in their head?
I mean, in today's world, again, you know, going back to the original question of what's changed, one of them is making sure that we're employed. That's a good start, but it's not the only thing. Where we have maybe some cases where it's a temporary employment, I mean, it's a checklist in my world is just knowing what your income is, you know, where you're thinking of building, even if it's demographically, it could be North Jersey, it could be just a county, it could be a specific part of Long Island. Just to, you know, give us some towns so that we can look potentially to crunch the numbers. But the checklist of items is usually like the W-2s and the pay stubs and bank statements and generally a full documented loan like any other loan. But the extras, I think, would be just because, again, if they're just at the beginning stages, you know, what towns and areas are they looking to build? So when we're looking at the numbers, we're saying, does this $400,000 build fit in a $400,000 community, or are they overbuilding or underbuilding? So we try to give some guidance so we're not knee-deep into it to find out that it's a bigger challenge.
Sure. And I know rates have fallen quite a bit, and then they bounced back up. So, you know, what does it mean when a rate might change by a 0.5%, and where are the rates at today?
I mean, today, we get rates pretty much every day around this time. I don't think we've had any major changes, but, you know, if you were sitting somewhere in the mid-3s, for example, which is at near historic lows, if you were to take like a $300,000 loan, for example, and rates were to move 0.5% for some economic reason, it's not dramatically, but it is. You don't want to leave money on the table, but sometimes it is. There's a line in the sand, and an $85 difference is what you would see between, say, 3.5 and 4, or say, you know, roughly 3 to 3.5. It's not a huge amount, but, you know, if it's $1,000 or $1,200 annually, you know, it starts to add up over 30 years, obviously. So it'll have an impact, but it's you know, eventually, you know, because the other thing you have to throw into there, if rates move, I mean, are building product costs moving as well? So they may save, if you're waiting for the rate to come lower, you know, you may save on the monthly, but if, you know, costs have gone up, then you may lose it on the other side. So, you know, generally trying to time that is never going to be perfect, but 0.5%, you know, $100 a month could be the line in the sand to not have someone qualify, or it could be on the better side, $100 less a month is $100.
Sure. Well, all the more reason with rates down the way they are to buy now or to work. I know it's hard to picture that for a lot of people with everything that's happening. Pennsylvania just announced last night that we are opening our construction industries back up on May 1st, and they announced a red, yellow, green phasing back in, as a lot of governors are. So I think for people that might have sidelined themselves, it'd be a great opportunity to get back into the game and start thinking about it if a new home was in their sights for this year. I did have a question about because of the COVID pandemic, and is there anything that Citizens or the banks are looking at if you have a furloughed worker that is expected to be called back into work? Is there anything different in that approval process, or what can you share about that?
You know, I don't know on the furloughed side of things exactly. There are underwriting guidelines within that are in place, and they're basically the same as they were before. There's probably going to be a more conservative approach, maybe how they look at some of folks' income. But if they've returned to work and they're back to full time, they're going to be able to qualify them. We'll be able to explain gaps of employment and things of that nature. For some folks, again, they're a little hesitant to make the plunge, especially when one or both of them are unemployed. But with the anticipation of returning to work, you know, again, the guidelines will sort of, I would think, this is my opinion, I would think guidelines would meander through the minutiae as far as what's the future going to bring us. What we have seen, though, is the industry changed a lot with, folks working remotely. So again, I've even seen folks where they've worked at, they say, 2/3 of their income during this. So does an underwriter take a 2/3 number as a conservative approach and qualify, even though they're back to a full amount? You know, they're moving with, you know, how the wind blows. It's going to be what makes the most prudent choice to qualify somebody.
Sure.
But we're seeing definite changes for sure there.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's not as dramatic.
That's one of the reasons why for conversations like this that we're having, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that are unsure. And I mean, Simplex's phones have not stopped ringing. Are the emails, the inquiries have stayed as strong as they were pre-pandemic. And but I also know that people are, I don't want to say they need to be taken by the hand, but in some senses they do, because they're, you know, especially if they're building their first house, or if they haven't built a house in a long time, they need that advice. They need that reassurance. They need, you know, they need to know where to turn to get answers and to figure out what they don't know so they can move forward. Is Citizens experiencing any delays because of the pandemic, inspections or anything like that? Anything that's tripped you guys up?
I don't know. No, I mean, yes and no. The industry has changed, right? So you have, and you, again, each state is different, each area is different on who can work and who can't work as far as essentials. And based on my location and based on the style of work that I do, which is in that modular industry, dealing with a factory that ships to multiple locations in multiple states, and where we're national, I see it more globally than focused in one county, for example. So I would say we definitely feel the pains of, you know, the built-up, you know, there's a huge demand with rates at historic lows, but then you have the challenges of underwriters, processors, titles, attorneys, notaries. Everyone is working from home if they're working at all, which is new to some folks, not new to me, obviously, but new to some parts of the industry. So you're seeing where the appraiser, in some cases, you know, may not gain entry to the property. Certain loans are going to require that they have to gain entry to the property. New construction, not so much, because they're driving by usually taking a picture of raw land, so we don't see a change there. But in the regular refinance and purchase world, that's a slowdown. The same with closing groups like title and attorney. Are they sending a virtual notary? Are they sending an actual notary? Are we having an attorney where we used to have five or six or seven people at a closing? Are they limited to one or two because of social distancing? So we're seeing some differences there and some bumps. But as we get the bumps, we're still trying to, you know, overcome them as an industry, not necessarily just citizens. We're just part of the solving of the problem. And we know that real estate is more of a bigger global piece of the puzzle, because it's not just you guys supplying the home, but you're supplying the labor for the folks that are supplying the home, which, you know, the material and the people that build the material. So there's, it ever reaches, it's not just one home. It affects multiple layers. So when there's a clog or a backup in that system, you know, we're trying to, as an industry, fix it. So I think we definitely are feeling bumps, but I don't know that it's necessarily anything we haven't been able to overcome. It's just taking longer.
Sure. And really, that's Simplex's main focus right now. We're working on a plan to open the factories back up within the next probably 2 weeks. And we're contacting our vendors to see who's working and what their deliveries are running, because we work on a just-in-time inventory. So we have to plan our production on when our vendors can deliver. So there is going to be some adjustments with what's happening in the world today. But I think the good news is, and Tom and I have had a lot of conversations over the past 3 weeks, and it's been a huge help to myself and Simplex and our salespeople. And he's just a great vast amount of knowledge. And but the good news I think I see in all this is there is still a market. The banks are still lending. And people still want houses. So I think Citizens and Simplex and all the other builders and all the other lenders out there are ready to get back in the game.
Thank you very much for the partnership. And again, enjoy working with your builders and your builders groups and you guys. And yeah, we're still here lending.
That's fantastic. Thanks again, Tom. And thanks to all our listeners. We'll be working on another podcast here shortly. You can find our podcast on our Simplex website, on our Facebook, on Instagram and LinkedIn. And I want to say thanks again, Tom, and goodbye to all of our listeners, and stay safe.